We would like to welcome you to the April 26th meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is for the protection enhancement, perpetuation of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's culture and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission, appointed by City Council, is not affiliated with any profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are used by the Commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within Savannah's local historic and conservation districts. The Commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance, items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the commission's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis of decisions. At this time, please turn off all cell phones. Commissioners, please mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commissioner must state their name and when you vote on an item as well as when you speak. Will the members of the board please please identify themselves by name for the record?
Virginia Mobley.
Kirsten Connor.
Robin Williams.
May Boley.
Pam Miller.
Darren Bagley-Heath.
Jeff Notrika.
And I'm Kathy Ledbina. Thank you. Time pressing. Members of the commission received an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visited the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Are there any projects that were not properly posted this month? No, then we'll continue. At this time, if everybody will please turn off all cell phones. Did I say that already? Probably. We'll move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or the board who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Hearing none. I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Virginia Mobley, I motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Maybole, second.
All in favor?
Virginia Mobley, in favor.
Kirsten Connor, in favor.
Robin Williams, in favor.
Maybole, in favor.
Pam Miller, in favor.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Notrika in favor.
Motion passes. Thank you. The adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Robin Williams, I make a motion we adopt the agenda.
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second that.
For the vote?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve.
Thank you.
Actually, this is Robin Williams. I just want to clarify, item 7 says adopt the March 22nd agenda. Should that be April 26th agenda?
Oops. Sorry about that.
On the agenda itself. That's yep. Today's agenda, correct?
That should have been today's agenda, yes.
So we adopted it, but just wanted to point that out on the for the sake of the minutes.
I don't know where that came from. We didn't even have a meeting on March 22nd. do we have to restate the motion or can we just make an edit?
Oh, we did have them. Do we need to redo that, Pam, and correct it? Is it? Okay. Okay. We're good to go.
Great. Moving on, minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Can I please have a motion to approve the minutes?
Virginia Mobley, approve the minutes from the March 22nd, 2023 meeting.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Dentrica, approve.
Thank you. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Are there any items listed?
No, ma'am. Oh,
okay. So we just need a motion to approve. No, we don't. Yep. We can just continue. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We're going on to the continued agenda. These items have been continued, deferred to the next meeting or date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Robin Williams, I make a motion we approve the continued agenda.
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second that.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Thank you. Request for extension.
We don't have
Being
any.
Being none, we will continue on. Regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation Districts. So let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have an opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure the board decision by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. Let's begin. Oops. Sorry. Ready? Petition of Rose Architects, 209 East Park Avenue, new construction, parts one and two, and alterations.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and for new construction small parts one and two for the property located at 209 East Park Avenue. This is the building here. You can see the side facade too. And just to, for a clarification, it's only one half of the building. The building is actually divided in half here for the property line. So we're talking about this half. All windows on the second level are proposed to be repaired. They will be replaced in kind with custom windows where they cannot be repaired. So this is the front. Down here is the proposed front elevation. So it includes that and the second story here. Windows are proposed to be installed in the cupola up here to restore it to look like the historic photo included in the submittal packet, which I can show you that photo actually. You can see the windows up here. Two windows on the historic portion of the west facade, here and here, are proposed to be changed to door openings. Their sills will be dropped, but the head height and width will remain the same. The rear addition will have most of its openings changed on the west and south facades. So here. Here. A new gate in the garden fence. Excuse me, it's right here. So this is an existing garden wall. So here's the gate. A new gate in the garden fence and wall that aligns with the front facade is proposed. In the rear, a new deck with a roll-up electric gate and ribbon-strip driveway below is proposed. And this is the new construction pool house at the rear of the property. You can see the back elevation here. And then behind the fence sitting in the backyard, you can see it here. The historic building was constructed in 1873 and is a contributing resource. The rear addition is not historic. Staff located a COA from 2003 for rehabilitation of this building that included this rear addition and the rear porch too. The front yard fence was also installed at this time, so we know that that wall slash fence is also not historic. So with regard to the Secretary of the Interior standards, staff finds that the rear addition has not acquired historic significance because due to its age. The deck addition, let me go to the, so you can see the, here's the deck addition. You can see it in the rear, zooming a little bit. The deck addition and accessory dwelling unit do not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. Furthermore, the work is differentiated yet compatible with the historic building. Because none of the work is physically attached to the historic building, it could be removed without compromising integrity. With regard to visual compatibility, so we find that the overall width and the overall scale of the accessory building are visually compatible. On this lane, all other existing accessory buildings are also one story like this one. The accessory building is proposed to have wood siding and trim with an asphalt shingle roof. Doors and windows are proposed to be wood clad. With regard to design standards and windows, so they are proposing the Marvin Ultimate Double Hung G2, which has previously been approved by you all, but they did not provide information regarding the light pattern or the light, excuse me, the mutton size and profile, which is in our standards for the ordinance. So we're asking for that. All right. With regard to the roof for the new construction, gable roofs shall be symmetrically pitched between 4 and 10. This information wasn't provided. It looks like it falls within that, but that information wasn't provided. Gable end rakes shall extend over at least 8 inches. Again, it just wasn't dimensioned. And eaves and rakes on accessory buildings shall overhang at least 8 inches, not dimensioned. And the last one there with regard to roofs is that soffits are supposed to be placed perpendicular to the building wall and not sloping in the plane with the building. And these ones are sloping in the same plane. So they need to be perpendicular. They need to locate the electric meter and the HVAC units. Let me show you the site plan. So we need them to locate the electric meter and the HVAC units. They're not shown on here. And the refuse storage is shown unscreened out in the lane. So that will need to move to where it's screened. And the last standard to address is that there needs to be 5 feet between a fence and a wall here, where we have only 3 feet. The petitioner does have a presentation to address the 8 conditions. Because they are all relatively minor conditions, staff is recommending approval for alterations and new construction with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval. Because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, and I'll go through those. One is that the windows on the addition and the accessory dwelling unit, Marvin Ultimate G2, must have 7/8 inch wide muttons or less, and the mutton profile shall simulate putty glazing, and there should be a spacer bar between panes of glass. 2, provide the pitch for the accessory dwelling unit. 3, dimension the gable end rigs and eaves. 4, revise the soffits to be perpendicular to the building wall. 5, locate the electric meter. 6, locate the HVAC units. 7, relocate the refuse storage to be screened. And 8, revise the fence location to provide 5 feet between the fence and the accessory dwelling unit. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, everyone. Good to be back. My name is Kevin Rose, Rose Architects presenting. I believe we have addressed all but the first of the requirements of staff. So if you'd like, I can walk you through the set and show you where it's at. If there's any other questions, we can go from there, but we'll be providing a spec for the window for staff to look over. Okay, can you see what I'm seeing here? Okay. It's an 8 and 12 pitch on the roof. You can see that here. Let's see about zooming in. So we have an 8 and 12 pitch on the roof. The fence on the side that needed to be more than 5 feet, we've eliminated the fence over here. We did keep a little bit for the HVAC. Staff and I discussed that it made sense to put the HVAC within the same kind of enclosure that we already had. So there is this little piece right here in the corner of the HVAC enclosure.
You can't see the measurement of that.
You can't see the measurement of
there
it.
There you go.
It's 3 feet here. And then it's roughly 4 or 5 foot along that wall. And to address the trash, we have the refuse inside underneath the stair here. What's next? Oh, thank you. The HVAC units, the existing HVAC are located here on the western side of the building. And then, of course, the new one for the accessory structure will be placed within the enclosure over here. And we can move on to the meter, which will remain where it is on the back of the house behind the gate. So it will not be visible from the public right away, just back here. And as far as the gables are concerned, we have adjusted these gables, trying to kind of match up with what we have up here, but in a more simple fashion rather than being ornate and creating a false sense of history. So there's this on this other side as well. With a 1'6" overhang. I guess that's about all I have. If there's anything y'all would like to ask while we're here, open to.
This is Robin Williams. Can you scroll up and look at the monitor on the top of the roof?
Yes.
And is that matching the fascia, the vertical face of the above the windows? You have brackets, and then you have that vertical plane above those.
Up here, right
at the
here.
Base of the roof, you have a vertical plane. No, above that, the
here.
Fascia. That is that. Following,
we're not doing any work to that. We're just taking the shutters.
Oh,
out.
So does it exist?
It exists.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I heard that you were putting it back in. Oh, you're just doing the windows. Okay, my apologies. I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
So
oh, there it is.
There.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Just basic, we're just replacing the shutters with windows again.
Okay, very good.
And to be clear, my clients have that portion of the whole upper floor. So it's half the building until the, you know.
Very good. Okay.
Any other questions?
Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? All right. We will now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will once again call on each board member to speak twice for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with Jeff.
I don't see any problem with this project. I like it.
Darren?
No comment. I'm good.
Pam Miller, I have no concerns.
May Boley, no concerns.
Rob Williams, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
All right. Since there aren't any comments, I think we can go ahead and entertain a motion.
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve for alterations and for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the property located at 209 East Park Avenue with all staff conditions. You got to turn on your mic.
I turned it off the top. Virginia Mobley, I second the motion.
We'll do a roll call vote. Jeff?
Approve.
Darren Bagley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
No? Motion passes.
Thank you.
At this time, we need to add one more board member to quorum. Please state your name for the record.
Rebecca Fenwick, my apologies for being late.
Thank you. Welcome. Moving on. The next application is the petition of the Harmby House, 1115 Habersham Street, special exception solar panels.
Just bear with me one moment here. All right. Good afternoon. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the application for 1115 Habersham Street for solar panels. So the applicant is requesting to install 10 solar panels on the rear and interior side roof of the historic resource located at 1115 Habersham Street. Just for some context and the surrounding area, this property was built in 1910 and is a contributing resource within the National Register and local Victorian Historic Districts. It's situated in a residential area surrounded by similar architectural styles. Many contributing resources still exist. It appears that the house has not undergone any major alterations, though the roof material is not historic. It was a metal roof. With regards to the meeting the criterion for the special exception portion of the request, criterion 1 deals with whether the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan. One of the goals of the Savannah 100% initiative includes having all electricity in Savannah generated from safe, clean, renewable energy by 2035. The use of solar energy is in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan, particularly in the chapter Preservation and Climate Resiliency, which discusses sustainability and allowing for upgrades to energy efficiency of historic buildings. For criterion 2, whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity, the installation of the solar panels would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, and function. Regarding appearance, some panels would be visible from Lincoln Street facing East Park Lane. but not to a degree that negatively impacts the aesthetic of the Victorian district. It is at the rear roof of the property facing the lane. Also, a very minimal portion of the panel visible from the pedestrian perspective on Habersham Street would be visible, as seen here, but would kind of need to be sought after. It's a very limited view of a small portion of probably one of these. Here. Overall, staff found that the standards were met with regard to mechanical equipment and refuse for the standard regarding alternative energy source devices. The standard is partially met, hence the special exception request. The majority of the solar panels will not be visible from the building frontage at Habersham Street. The panels on the rear of the building face East Park Lane. I get that back up. So they're not visible from the fronting street, but some panels are visible from a viewpoint of Lincoln Street looking down East Park Lane towards the rear of the house. And then from all other angles, staff observed that the panels would not be visible at all. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the request for the installation of solar panels on the rear and interior side portions of the roof at 1115 Habersham Street as requested, because the panels are visually compatible and meet the standards, and approve the special exception request for the installation of solar panels that are minimally visible from Habersham Street and Lincoln Street as requested, because the project meets the criteria. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Kathy Levina, can you put the image on that shows the location of the panels? Yeah, that one. Are there any questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
If you want to scroll through, this is what you're seeing. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Nicole, and I am the petitioner for the Harambe House.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Levina, I have a couple.
Okay.
What is the overall height of the panels?
These are going to be flat roof panels. There will be about what? About 5 inches. They're going to lay flat on the roof. So there will be no real height. It's about 5 inches that it will sit up off the roof.
Are they supported? They follow the slope of the roof?
Yes, ma'am.
5 inches up?
Yes.
Is there any setback from the edge of the roof? This picture doesn't, I mean, it doesn't show setback, but.
Yes, there is setback from the edge of the roof, because that is our fire walkway, so that if the fire department needs to get around the solar panels, there will be, I think, a 2 to 3 foot walkway around the roof.
Last question, does the color blend in with the existing roof?
Yes, the current roof is blackish, but if we need to redo the roof and get a darker shingle to match the black panels, we will have to if we need to.
Those are all the questions I had. Are there any other questions from the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Please step forward. State your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Joyce Piersani, and I came here to actually talk about something else, but my house looks at the back of the Harambe House, and this is a wonderful thing for them. They're a nonprofit. They do a lot of very good work, and I'm thrilled that if they can do this.
Great, thank you. Any other comments? All right. We will now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We will start the discussion with Jeff.
I don't see any problem with this. Looks like they've responded to the guidelines, so I like it.
Rebecca Fenwick, I don't have any issues with this.
Likewise, Darren Bagley.
Pam Miller, no problem.
Pam Boley, congratulations. It looks awesome.
Robin Williams, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, I have a question of staff. Simply, we have had several petitions in the past few months for solar panels. Please tell me what is different about these compared to, say, the one that was on Havisham and Victory Drive that was visible from the street behind it.
I didn't work on that one, so I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but if it was a degree of visibility, because a lot of the ones that have come up where it was facing the lane versus the street, I think on that one, maybe they didn't have a lane behind it. It was like 42nd Street or something. There was no lane where, you know, this is just saying under the street visibility is the main issue. I believe that might be why.
Kathy Levina, it was my understanding that, this is a lot less panels than the previous project.
True.
I think the previous project, overloaded the roof with panels. Right. And whereas this is
10.
Only the portion that we see, from the
lane.
The street.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any other comments from the board? Hearing none, let's entertain a motion.
May Boley, motion to improve staff recommendations to approve both requests.
Virginia Mobley, a second.
May Boley, motion to approve the request for installation of solar panels on the rear and interior side portions of the roof as requested, and to approve the special exception request for installation of solar panels that are minimally visible from Habersham Street and Lincoln Street as requested.
Virginia Mobley, second the motion.
Virginia, we'll start with you for the vote.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nodrika, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. We will now hear the petition from Jay Elder Studio, 1002 Montgomery Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
May Boley, I need to recuse myself.
Thank you.
This is Jamie Zerillo presenting the staff recommendation for 1002 Montgomery Street. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitations and alterations to 1002 Montgomery Street. The proposed alterations include the addition of a third floor. One second. So here are photos of the existing property. It was constructed in 1944 as a non-contributing resource. The surrounding context is primarily contemporary with some examples of residential architecture that's significantly older, but the primary context is commercial and contemporary. So with that, the proposed alterations include the addition of this third floor, as well as alterations to windows, doors, exterior walls, and the roof line, as you can see here. These are renderings provided by the petitioner, showing it within context. Here's a context elevation. This is Wahlberg Street. And this is from Montgomery Street. So staff didn't have too many comments. The primary comments we had were with regards to the railings, which on these balconies, according to the standards, require a bottom railing. So we're requesting that they add that to meet the standard. And as well as the signage facing Wahlberg Street, we're requesting a more detailed dimension drawing to be able to review the signage. Even though it is address signing, if address signing exceeds a certain size, it does require a COA to be reviewed. But beyond that, staff didn't have any major comments regarding this. We found that, especially with the respect it pays to the historic roof line on the adjacent buildings, we found that the height was compatible and that given the contemporary context and the nature of the building being non-contributing, we found these alterations to be visually compatible as well. And I'll turn over to any questions you have of staff.
Are there any questions for staff?
Can I see a picture of the Wahlberg side of the present building?
Yes. Let's see, context photos. This is the context on Wahlberg. And this is the corner of Montgomery right around here.
Okay, so they're going to be adding some windows and such to that side?
Correct.
Okay, that's all.
Oops.
Are there any other questions? All right. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Jerome Elder for Jerome, J. Elder Studio. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank staff for working with us. It's been quite a process going back and forth trying to determine how we can develop this property. The owners are hoping to be able to get started on this soon because the property has been sitting there for a long time and is definitely structurally falling apart in the interior. So we are doing our best now to look at rehabilitating the building and giving it a new life and a new future. So if there are any questions, feel free to ask. I'm here.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Kathy Levina, I have a couple.
Okay.
Is there a setback for the third story on, I guess it's Wahlberg? I can't.
Yes, there is. So you're saying, let's see if I can do this. So you're seeing a setback off of
this is Montgomery. So on the north-south, is there a setback?
On the third floor?
Or is it flush with the building?
It is. There's a step back, but not really a setback. It's just where it changes from brick to siding on the third floor.
What's the dimension of that? Step back.
I want to say about 8 inches.
8 inches.
Can go to the section and see if I can get an accurate dimension.
But, well.
Sorry.
I think you just showed it.
Here's
there one. It is. 8 inches. All right. And then my second question is concerning the treatment of the window surround.
Yes.
Is that, I call them balconettes, but is that balcony space functional or is that purely decorative?
I mean, it will technically be somewhat functional in that it's not that for you to step onto it, but there'll be a door that you'll be able to open and fully access and stand at that balcony. That's what we're showing here. then but it's not.
You can stand, but you cannot sit.
No. So it does not. And you can see here, they don't protrude.
Right. So I guess my concern, of course, is typically every balconies and windows are set back into the building, whereas you're actually creating a projection of those windows. And it's I don't know. These, well.
Well, if you were to think of it more of like a French patio door, and then they have the railing in front of it where the doors will open inward, that's essentially what we have there. The only thing that we did was add a surround. So I think the surround
is what I'm talking about. Okay. So that surround projects instead of being recessed in the plane,
understood.
It actually projects. So these windows have the surround. And
yes.
Project 5-6 inches?
8 inches.
8 inches.
Yes.
Can you just tell me the reasoning for that?
It's purely for aesthetic and for that contemporary look that we were going for.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
On these balconies,
yes.
What is what part of what I am seeing is a functional opening? I mean, looking at them, they look stationary.
Which part is when you say a functional opening? Just trying to understand. They are all you can open the windows.
So those are actually windows. They're not floor-to-ceiling doors.
So. We show them as windows. We can do them as a door. It's a discussion that we're on with the owner right now, just trying to determine what would be best since it's apartments.
It seems to me that it's purely decorative. Oh, gosh. One more question.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Wahlberg Street, yep, right there, are each of these openings, is that one room? Is it possible, I mean, if these were doors, to combine those balconies and make it into 4 distinct balconies versus 8?
Understood. Possible, yes. We do like the current design, so you can see it here in the floor plan. Are you seeing my screen?
So one's a door and one's a window. So that's okay. All right.
And part of that is also just for function within the room. So
I don't understand
instead
that.
Instead of having two doors open into your room and not being able to use any wall space also. So we're thinking about interior functionality as well within the rooms. And you could see that here. You don't end up with this wall, that wall.
Is this the third floor?
This is, oh wait, sorry, this yeah. is third.
Okay.
I can so get
we're
down to
at
second.
The second. Yeah, here we go. So the.
So you're asking if we could combine the two?
I am.
I would say we can, but we do like the way it is designed currently.
All right, thank you. Those are all the questions I have for the petitioner. Any other questions? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Hearing none, we thank you. And we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We will start with Jeff for a comment.
Looks good to me. No. I'm not in favor of this.
Rebecca Fenwick, I don't have any comments.
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. I'm pleased that this building that is in need of help is going to be sympathetically put to use without being torn down, so I think it's great.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Jamie, can you go back to the Wahlberg Street elevation? So our petitioner walked away before I had a chance to ask him. We do have at least one balcony, the one closest to the neighboring, where it's exactly like Ms. Levina. And so actually, if we could get the petitioner back up, just for a quick question, since this is, there's an element of the design that's an exception from everything else. And just curious why the easternmost balcony, the one directly above your address number, is a, exactly like Ms. Levina was mentioning.
This one, it was because we were looking at that being above the entry and we were trying to keep, it's also a different proportion to the other windows. So this one, that's what we determined we'd like to do for that portion of the facade. All the others repeat the same motif.
Okay, so it could, just looking at the way you have a kind of a better dialogue between ground floor and second floor with these balconies, just curious, could you go to the Habersham elevation? Just sort of following up on Ms. Levina's comment, it almost, like that one bay of your Waldberg Street elevation, in a sense,
that middle bay,
ties them together in a way that this elevation sort of doesn't as effectively. Just, it's not a, it's more of an aesthetic thing and maybe makes it more practical. So just a curious, I know you said your petitioner and you prefer this, just curious why you had made that exception on the other one.
As I said, that one was mainly because this would be the entry from both those units, and that unit, it worked out that way, including proportion. And that's actually where the kitchen is and posh part of the living area as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I'm going to have just my 2 minutes. I really do feel that if they combine the balconies, it would be less, if they combined the balconies, it would simplify the design. And I do think it ties the first to the second. I would like to see the third floor recessed more than 8 inches just to distinguish it further as an addition to the building. Yes, the building is an improvement, but I think to be more visually compatible with the surrounding buildings, if we do those two things, it would be a more cohesive design.
Kirsten Connor, I think this discussion is getting a little too far into actually trying to design the building for the applicant. I really appreciate the thought put into this building, and I see no issues with trying to display the front entrance as it has in the drawings. I have no problem with any of this. But I just wanted to comment to say I think we are getting a little too far into trying to design the building for the applicant.
Virginia Mobley, I have a quick question. Is the design of the facade on the Montgomery Street first floor and on Waldberg, with the exception of the entry on Waldberg, is it designed to be of commercial standards?
It does meet our design standards for commercial space, yes.
Okay, so we're looking at residential above?
Correct.
Thank you.
Enter into the final round of discussion. Virginia, would you like to start?
Virginia Mobley.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Robin Williams, I just wanted to follow up with Ms. Levina and the Waldberg Street elevation. I actually think the current configuration helps maintain the plane established by the buildings farther to the east by having something that actually does come out to the facade and sort of picks up the Greek revival. No, don't go away. Don't go back. And if you could slide slightly to the left, Jamie. So the profile of the roof that comes out near to the wall plane but is distinguishable with its darker materials of the third floor of the application, I think that all reads as the same plane. sort of picks up on the three-story elevation of the historic row to the west with its Greek Revival subtle peak. So I actually like the fact that I think it's more compatible the way that it reads as one plane rather than being set back the way it is on Montgomery. So I would advocate keeping that in the same plane the way it's drawn.
Pat Miller, I approve.
I like it.
Darren Bagley-Heath, no further comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
Jeff Nedryka, no further comments.
All right, we'll now entertain a motion.
Kirsten Connor, I motion to approve staff recommendation for rehabilitation and alterations at 1002 Montgomery Street with their following conditions of, number one, add bottom rails to the balcony railings, and two, provide a dimension drawing of the proposed metal signage on the north facade.
Robin Williams, second.
Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nedryka, approve.
Thank you. Moving on, we'll now hear the petition of Ken Blackburn, 1111 Lincoln Street, alterations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Ethan Hagman presenting for staff. Today's coming before you is alterations to this non-contributing building. What they want to do is take out the wood staircase and front porch and replace with concrete brick footings, and they're proposing wrought iron railing. As you can see in this exhibit, this is what is existing. And this is sort of what they're proposing regarding that brick footing. So moving into visual compatibility, we don't find that the proposed wrought iron railing is compatible within the Victorian district. It would look good downtown, but frankly, there's just not enough examples of a precedence set for this district. The one example that the applicant was pointing to was their neighboring property of this iron railing, which we don't really find compatible within the district. So we're actually recommending against that wrought iron railing, and we're putting the condition that they come back to us and choose a porch element material that is approved by the design standards and is visually compatible with the Victorian district, because wrought iron isn't approved for the district, but it's not prohibited. So if they wanted to get it approved, they'd have to bring a physical sample into this board at next month's meeting. That's just the way the ordinance is written. So we're just suggesting this as an alternative in a condition. Last time I talked with the petitioner, they are amenable to changes that you guys suggest. So given that situation and circumstances, we are recommending approval with the following condition: that they choose a different porch element for the railing and balusters. I'm now open to any questions if there's any from board members.
This is Robin Williams. So can you go back over this, show us the existing condition? And so what's the age on the house?
2011. So the reason behind this is a non-historic house. Right now, all the porch elements are wood, and they're already suffering from a bit of rotting taking place in the wood due to the rain weather and weather circumstances. So they're looking for a more durable material. That's why they're choosing kind of the concrete slab with that Savannah gray brick footing finish.
Is it only the stair treads and the porch, like the part that they're recommending be concrete and brick that's rotting, not the roof, not the columns, not the balusters?
No, not from my understanding. It's just the staircase portion.
Okay. Thank you.
for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
I believe the petitioner is out of town at the moment, unless there's a Mr. Ken Blackburn online.
No? Okay. All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to come forward? Okay, we will then enter into board discussion. Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. Too quick.
So this is the reason I came today.
Okay, come on up.
I can't believe that everything you've discussed today is within a block of my house. The Blackburns have taken care of this house more than the pictures do not do it justice. It is pristine. They built it so their girl could go through school at SCAD to be an architect. It is the house they're going to retire in, and they're coming up for that. They have, I'm telling you, the best neighbors that you can possibly imagine. The property is so well kept, despite the fact that their next door neighbor, that house is collapsing onto their house. Every day, pieces of this wreck are blown into their yards and their property, which they pay to have picked up all the time. I would say whatever they do with the front of that house will be an improvement. It will be beautiful, and it will be well kept. My opinion.
Thank you so much.
About yourself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Joyce Piersanti, P-I-E-R-S-A-N-T-I. Sorry.
Thank you. Is there maybe a comment from staff who can help with the neighboring? We can write the neighboring. Do you know the address of the neighboring property? Ms. Chris Monty?
220 East Duffy Street.
Thank you.
And it has been reported for over 15 years in that condition, falling apart. I live there. I know that.
All right. Thank you. Any other public comment? All right, we will now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start the conversation with Virginia.
You say that wrought iron railings are permitted in the Victorian District?
No, ma'am. They're not permitted, but they're not prohibited. So the way the ordinance is written, it would need to become a physical sample would need to come before you to approve.
So have they presented to us or to you any suggested railings?
Last time we spoke, they were talking about a PVC type material, which isn't permitted within the Victorian District. So I think they're still kind of looking at for contractors, trying to get bids on what the best material is moving forward.
So how can we do anything today until we know the material that they would like to use?
Well, so that's why we put this condition, was that it's approved by design standards and is visually compatible, because the way the ordinance is written, it says porch elements shall be constructed of brick, painted or stained wood, wood composite, precast stone, marble, sandstone, or slate. So it lays out numerous materials that could possibly be used.
Yeah, and you can get precast stone railings.
Kirsten Connor, no comment. I tend to agree. Well, I guess I do have a comment. I tend to agree with what staff recommended. I don't see a problem with that.
So basically what you're saying is that we approve it on this following condition. So they would have, it doesn't explicitly say this in the recommendation, but they'd have to work with staff to come up with something compatible.
Correct. Because before they build and they're issued a permit, they're going to have to get it stamped from staff.
So don't we normally put that in the wording that the petitioner work with staff for approval?
Yeah, we very well could. You can definitely put that in the motion.
It just seems to be missing from this recommendation. I just curious about that.
We could absolutely do that.
Okay.
Kathy Labrina, and I think I have similar concerns, not knowing the full design. It's hard to approve or disapprove without knowing what's going to replace it. Typically, we don't approve any demolition before we know what's replacing it. So they're going to have to take down all the railings and everything to do the steps. And they're going to work with you before that happens?
Yes, because they would need to get it stamped by us beforehand.
I would think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
May Bully, I trust staff to work with them on their material choices. Otherwise, the brick footings look great. I would tend to approve.
Pam Miller, no comment.
So my only question is if this had come forward with an approved material for the railings and balusters, would this have even come in front of us?
Well, I mean, given it had a condition, we wanted you guys to see it, and it was kind of more of a major condition by trusting staff to work with them. So that's why we put it on regular agenda instead of just putting it on consent. But yeah, more than likely it would have just been on consent if
it
didn't have this condition.
So yeah, I have no problem with it as it stands, as long as you know they come back with approved materials, and if they choose to go down the route where they want to use a railing, then they need to come back and present it in front of us as outlined in the standards.
I just echoed comments heard thus far and surprised it made it to the agenda without the design. And just kind of a sidebar comment regarding wood. I realize we don't make any kind of the MPC is not giving any information to applicants about wood species, but it might be something that someone might request of, like for technical assistance. And if there's something like a preservation brief or other document that we could have on hand to share with folks regarding what is a better wood species that would be more durable, last longer, as in it's a good wood option, that might be something that, if it's not already in your will, in your library, to have that.
Jeff Nedrica, I don't see any issue with this. I like the design and I understand the rationale behind it, so.
Any further board discussion? No. Hearing none, we'll just entertain a motion.
It's Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve for alterations front staircase, the non-contributing single-family house located 1111 Lincoln Street, with the staff condition and the extra requirement that the petitioner work with staff to approve the design to ensure that it meets the requirements of the ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Thank you. For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Dentrica, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Thank you. Moving on to the streetcar district. Petition of Savannah Star, LLC, 16 East 37th Street, after the fact brick painting.
Thank you once again to Ethan Hagman for staff presenting. This is back before you from last month's agenda, requesting approval for after fact painting of the historic district of the historic bricks and removal of the historic front porch railings. You all may remember this from last month's meeting. This was initially given a COA in front of this board back in February of 2022 for rehabilitation to the building, which has been ongoing I wanted to pull up the project timeline just to give a little brief history of where we were. Not much has changed since you all were last updated at last month's meeting. Besides on March 17th, a paint stripper test was performed on a portion of the bricks, and we were on site to witness that with the petitioner. I want to remind you of the conditions you guys continued this with last month, and that was to rebuild the front porch railings to historic configuration while finding that solution to meet the building code, and then to perform the paint removal test, which was performed this month. So yes, going to that paint removal test a few days ago, we did go out and the petitioner allowed us on his property and they took part in the Blue Bear soy gel paint and urethane stripper. These were the results after one coat of the stripper and about maybe 20 minutes or so, and then applying it with a wet sandpaper. So this is the results that we saw from these three bricks during that paint stripper testing process. For Secretary of the Interior Standards, they're all still staying the same from last month's meeting where they're not met due to the damage that has been done to the property. For visual compatibility, we are going to recommend a continuance of this item to next month's meeting to allow for a minimum of two additional paint removal solutions to further test this building. Regarding visual compatibility, I think staff is in agreement. While some paint does come off the bricks, we are a bit concerned about the mortar. As you can see, not much improvement was made on that mortar, concerned to what the original mortar looked like. So as staff, we feel like bringing this building back to what it was before may not be a possible solution at this state. So that's kind of where we're standing as far as visual compatibility goes. But we are recommending a continuance to next month's agenda with the following two conditions. This first condition was from last month's. It's just the addition of this second one to test a minimum of two more paint removal solutions. Are there any questions from board?
Cheers. Oh. Go ahead, Rebecca. Okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Rebecca Fenwick. I shared some specific products with you all, and should there be an added bullet point of when that was forwarded to the petitioner?
Oh, yes. We did receive your email. Yeah, I guess that just wasn't
none of them
put
were
on
blue,
the timeline.
None of them were Blue Bear. So.
So what staff had done, we set up a meeting after last month's meeting with some preservation professionals in the community. We felt like it probably wasn't appropriate to invite any members of the board, so we kept it to people in the community. And during that meeting, two products were brought up as possible solutions. And the petitioner, from my understanding, looked at both of the lead times of those products. The Blue Bell was just the only one that came in time due to it only being maybe a 20-day wait period in between that meeting and to the when we had to have our staff reports due. So it was just more of a timing. We feel that with another continuation that it may give him a little bit more time to order those solutions to test.
Yeah, I specifically stated that in the email too. Just I know those companies, you know, even just to get like a test box or whatever is lead time is long. So
right. So that's that's also been a little bit of a challenge on this project is just the logistics and the lengthy lead time for getting the equipment.
So is it possible that we can even extend it beyond 30 days to a 60-day continuance because obviously, there's some issues getting the material, and preservation shouldn't really be compromised for the sake of a timeline of being able to get the right materials to test. And maybe they need to use three or four different products to test at the same time, so we can get
So
a better palette and an idea of what is going to work,
rather than a piecemeal process?
Right. So in the continuance, we put for a maximum of 60 days, which it could be adjusted to. It could be 30 days if the tests were coordinated sooner.
Pam Miller, in my recollection, I think we talked about the option of maybe painting it back to red brick. Was that not something we discussed?
Yes, that's
correct. And was
correct,
there any discussion about that or any effort made to look at what that might look like if they have to?
So given state preservation laws, we're not allowed to regulate color within the streetcar historic district. So we felt as staff it probably wasn't in our wheelhouse to recommend a color to the petitioner. That was kind of our reasoning on that stance.
Kirsten, you had a question?
I do have another question. I forgot what my other question was. Did they specifically apply the product to the mortar?
Yes, ma'am. They covered this pretty much this whole test area. You can still see where it's wet from the application, yeah, pretty much from this brick row down. And try a light brush on the mortar. There wasn't much progress at all.
What kind of like bristle brush or what was used to scrub the brick?
I'm not sure of the exact bristle brush that was used.
You were present for this test? I thought that the condition was you be present.
Yes, yep, the three of staff from the Historic Preservation Department was present.
But you didn't see the brush?
I saw it. I mean, I just
don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't know my bristle brushes.
It's familiar for one. They use sandpaper. Okay, but they use sandpaper, you said, correct, on the brick itself, the face of the brick?
I believe it was a sandpaper. The petitioner could also expand more on the exact materials that they used.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for staff?
I just have a quick question. Are there four bricks that were actually had that process done to it? So that little half brick, was that done as well? That's kind of underneath the two on the top? That you can see a lot of red, and then was that one underneath that? I guess my point of that is that is it going to be incongruent when they do try to take it off? So some are going to come off better than others, and some are going to stay half white?
Yes, so these were more of the smooth finished bricks that they applied the test on, which is another good point, is a lot of the bricks have very different, they're all very different, and some have deeper pockets than others. So through the test, we sort of realized as well that the bricks with the deeper pockets, that's going to be much harder to remove the paint, and there are going to be sort of like white splashes within the bricks. So it's just a difficult situation as staff to assess, and that's kind of why we're at this point, is you'll never be able to get it back to what it was once was.
But that was one application, Kathy Ledbina, application.
Yes, one application with about 15-minute wait period.
May, question?
I did have a question, and I wasn't here last time, so I apologize if this is redundant, but should paint removal on the mortar fail? Was there any discussion about the appropriateness of raking the mortar joints and repointing?
We didn't discuss that.
We've discussed that solution as staff. We're still kind of hesitant on that.
I understand it's pretty aggressive.
Right,
like it's
that's kind of our concern on that. But we only internally as a department have we discussed that.
So just stating then that while that would be aggressive, we should make real efforts to try to get that mortar cleaned before.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, having to talk about that seriously, which I think we should.
Kirsten Connor, I think maybe another appropriate recommendation after testing is completed and would be might to suggest whitewashing. That would kind of help blend in the residue from the paint. And the white mortar joints, and it is not harsh on bricks. It allows bricks to breathe. It's a very appropriate product for historic brick.
Any other?
Yep. One other question. Just confirming that this is historic lime mortar and not Portland cement mortar. Does anybody know?
I'm not sure, honestly.
because that makes a pretty material difference.
Ask the petitioner.
I will ask the petitioner. Thank you.
Robin?
Oh, I was just going to say the date of the building might answer that question. It's early 20th century building?
1920, I believe.
Good chance it could be Portland. Oh, you think?
You think Portland?
Yeah.
I think Portland.
I don't know. I would assume Portland.
Red. Portland. All right. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, is the petitioner present? Please come forward. State your name for the record.
Hey, everyone. This is Amerigo Contini, managing member of Savannah Star LLC. I guess I would like to give a little background on how we got to this point. It was never our intention to paint the building if we weren't allowed to. When we put in the initial COA application, we did the initial meeting, I guess, with staff, and we asked the question, we might paint the building, and the response was, we don't review paint colors in street court, okay? We went through with our project, we went through COA. Our designers spent months trying to figure out what would be the right paint for this building. They walked the neighborhoods, noticed different buildings that were brick and painted, and ultimately came up with this historical color from Sherwin-Williams. 2 weeks before painting the building, we actually called MPC and, again asked, we intend to paint the building, it's in street core. And the response was, we do not review paint colors in street core. So I think, one of my suggestions after we actually figure out what to do here would be to put forward some clear guidelines on painting historical brick. I think that would be really helpful for people that are trying to do stuff around the city. We are happy to do additional tests. We tried to power wash the building because we were asked to try and power wash the building. And then I listened to the recording from the last meeting and somebody said, you shouldn't power wash the building. I was told to do it. So I didn't, we're happy to go forward with the tests. We're happy to restore the front porches the way they were. Again, a little background on that as well, because I know I'm going to be asked. We tried to do that. They're 28 inches high, so they don't meet code compliance. After we did that, we got a letter from code compliance saying, hey, your railings don't meet the requirement. You need to bring them up to 42 inches and meet the 4-inch spear test, which the historicals don't meet that. So we had to rebuild our railings twice, and then we got the letter from MPC, I guess, you got to lower it and make it up to standard. So I'm more than willing to do that. But I also want to point out that it costs a lot of money to do it every single time. My contractor, unfortunately, doesn't work for free. And for the paint, again, we're more than willing to do the tests, do what it takes. But I do want to point out that at some point, it will be really hard for us financially to actually do this paint removal project. These three bricks took probably half an hour to just get them the way they are. I personally don't think the mortar will ever come out. So you're going to have this look that, it's kind of like midway to what we're trying to achieve, I would think. My last point is the financial feasibility from our side to actually get it completed. It'll take a long time and a lot of money. And I'm happy to answer your question, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
This is May Boley. Do you know if the mortar is Portland cement or historic lime mortar?
Sorry, I don't know the answer to that
question. You don't know. Thank you anyways.
Hi, Rebecca Fenwick. Have you ordered any other paint removal options already?
So we ordered the ones that we had the meeting with staff, with the experts, and they suggested three products. The lead time on the bear, I guess, was, got it in time, but we did order the three products.
Okay. So you're just waiting till they arrive?
We're waiting.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Kathy Ledvina, do you think that 60 days is feasible?
Yeah, for the tests.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Fenwick, was your correspondence primarily this whole time with MPC through email or telephone? Do you recall?
So the regarding the paint, mm-hmm. regarding the paint was after the fact, everything in writing. I learned my lesson. But we had a video conference with, I believe, Olivia Fuso on the first time. And then, you know, when we called, I don't know who we spoke to.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Just one. This is Robin Williams. When you removed the historic railings, did you keep them or were they discarded?
They were rotten down to the point where okay. we couldn't keep them.
But you have, I mean, I think they're historic photos, so they could be recreated.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dimensionally. And then did staff show you one of the solutions, which is to put a clear 42-inch barrier behind or in front of, I guess it'd be behind the railing?
Yes, sir. We have an architect that is working on that design. Perfect. I believe that the approach that he's taking is to lower the height to what it was, have the same design, and then have a bar across, I guess it's a metal bar, that will go up to the 42 inches that co-compliance is requesting. And then behind the actual railing design, you know, like a barrier, you know, it doesn't have to be glass or anything like that. We're honestly trying for an economical, you know, option.
Kathy Levine, one more question. Did you share with staff the products that you're using?
Yeah, they were the ones that suggested it. I guess they're
I'm getting it.
I'm happy
is there
to
an approval?
I'm happy to put together
is that a
list.
Yes with staff? You have the products that they're working on? Up here. He's got them.
With me right now?
No. Did you just have a look?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner from the board? Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward and comment? All right, hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start the discussion with Jeff.
Nothing I can add to this conversation.
Rebecca Fenwick, it seems like we're a little bit in a holding pattern, knowing that the additional products still need to be tried, and I would, you know, maybe say that we should put in the motion that staff should again be present, and maybe we can get a little bit better recordation of the process and even application and what is used to apply. And because, I mean, all those things really do matter. I know it seems silly, like what kind of brush, but I mean, it has an impact, and there is a wide variety of ways that it can be applied. So to kind of hear the full scope of this specification basically would be useful. Getting to hear from the petitioner today, I feel like was really provided some good background information and is concerning, alarming. You know, my curiosity is, you know, was the address included in the question when it was asked, and kind of just hearing from him as well that, you know, his recommendation to have a document related to the painting of historic brick kind of even still speaks to the perhaps continued lack of clarity, right? That you cannot paint brick that is not already painted if it's historic in our historic districts. I mean, maybe that's still not understood, and, you know, how can we be doing a better job? So it's just a general comment.
Darren?
I have no further comment at this time.
Pam?
Pam Miller, I just want to see what happens after the other two applications, only because having seen this one, I am really concerned as to whether or not anything is going to be effective enough to get it back to its original brick, and to see if the areas too with the mortar behind it, and then defer to people that understand more about that than I do. Thank you.
May Boley, I agree that it's good that we're going to keep trying on this. I also echo Rebecca's request that we can have some really clear documentation of the process, including tools and techniques, so that we can know whether this is, you know, done according to best practices standards. just want to encourage the client or applicant to really try. I know you're going to do everything you can on that mortar, and try multiple tools. Don't give it a shot with a toothbrush and say it can't be done. I want to see real evidence that all the efforts were made before we can sort of come up with an alternative solution. Also, if we could verify whether or not that is Portland cement or historic lime mortar, because the tools, techniques, materials, and applications are different for those two different materials. So we do need to know what we're talking about. That's all. Thank you.
Well, this is Robin Williams. Just building on the comments of my colleagues here, makes me wonder, with these applications, is it up to the applicant to apply these paint removers, or is someone who has skill in doing so consulted in how best to do it? Because one thing to say, okay, well, these are the recommended products, like any number of different aspects of building restoration, having some experience and knowing which tools, duration, how hard to push and scrub before you know, and what kind of mortar. So, when staff was there, is there any consideration given to consulting with someone who has experience in this? And is that one of the requirements?
Yeah, so I believe the Friday after we met last meeting, we had that Zoom meeting with Historic Savannah Foundation and a few other preservation professionals in the community, and they were able to kind of advise and consult on the building. They knew specifically which building we were talking about. In regards to having them present and applying it, I think that'd be totally up to the applicant, as they'd be on his property and applying those materials.
Kirsten Connor, I would also like to echo what Rebecca and May have said. And additionally, I want to reiterate that there are whitewash applications out there. If the paint cannot be removed properly, whereas whitewashing could be skimmed over the brick and cause that effect of color that they're wanting and be appropriate for the material. Just as like a back thought of solutions in the future. But again, we do have to, I guess, wait until more applications of products are tested.
I have, Virginia Mobley, I have no other comments other than to support what Rebecca and May have said. And being in the natural stone building business, there are ways to remove paint from natural material. And I realize that brick is a man-made substance, but it comes from a natural material. And there's a lot of difference between a virtual meeting and an on-site meeting. And I think what has been suggested is that there be people who have done this before on-site that can see the actual process.
Kathy Levine, I agree with the previous comments, and I also want to state that I have removed paint from brick, and it's a laborsome process, but it's certainly worth it, and I think it would be greatly beneficial to your building. You just have to realize that it might not happen in the first go-around. You might need two applications. So,
I have a further comment, and it's directed to the petitioner, as it's come out in this discussion about experts being on site. Would the petitioner be open to having a member of Historic Savannah Foundation or some other independent expert at an application process to be there as a consultant to see whether, you know, various alternatives of how these paint removers may be applied, and also the level of intensity at which they're applied to remove the product?
Rebecca, we'll start our second round.
Rebecca Fenwick, I seem to recall the last meeting too, we even discussed filming this process. Did we not? Maybe that's still an option as well for the future testing, you know, 2 minutes, you know, nothing crazy, but.
All right.
Just want to acknowledge that the petitioner is open to having
a member of the of an expert there. So, and we also have a member of the Historic Savannah Foundation. So would they be willing to be in attendance? Okay. Good.
All right. Terrific.
Just want to clarify, I wasn't the one, you know, applying this product or looking at it. It was our general contractor. You know, I just want to clarify.
Even as you as a contractor, you, even as a contractor, it's a specialized process. And if we've got experts that are in the community that are willing to observe as an independent adjudicator, it helps out with the process for everybody. Excellent. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Please this is
our second round discussion
that
now.
That they need to come up to the microphone to speak because Bree can't get the minutes if they're sitting in their seat. She can't hear them. So please remind members of the public to get up, announce their name, and then speak into the microphone. Thank you.
All right, we'll finish the conversation and then we'll have the petitioner come back up.
May? I apologize that this is redundant, but if it hadn't been tossed out already, you know, and exploring the opportunity or possibility of multiple applications as well, it should be considered something that we should try maybe, perhaps.
Any further comment? No. All right, can the petitioner come back up to the podium, state his name, and restate your grants.
Amerigo Contini. Yeah, they're more than welcome to come and show us how to do it, what the best practices are. And just want to clarify that I wasn't, as the petitioner, applying the product and trying to scrape off the paint when we did the first application. It was a general contractor with third year of experience in downtown Savannah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further board discussion? Hearing none, we will now entertain a motion.
I'll take a stab. Rebecca Fenwick, I recommend we continue the application at 16 East 37th Street to include staff conditions as well as the condition to go alongside condition number two, that those paint removal solutions include members of the MPC staff as well as select members of the preservation professional community of Savannah, such as Historic Savannah Foundation, be on site, and that the methods and application of the solutions be documented in narrative form and film.
60 days.
And yes, the continuance will be for a maximum of 60 days.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, I second that.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
We approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Notriga, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Moving on, the petition of Real Investment Savannah, LLC, 523 Siler Avenue, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, and a variance recommendation request.
Thank you. This is Ethan Hagman again, presenting for staff. Today before you is new construction, small parts 1 and 2 of a single family house on this vacant parcel of land in between the two houses. They're also asking for a variance request for the development standard in zoning district TN2 for building frontage minimum, how the width of the frontage that the house needs to be built. It's set at 70% for this zoning district. The applicant is requesting 60% in a variance. So they're also asking for that variance recommendation from you guys to zoning boards of appeals today. So the nature of this parcel is it's on Siler Avenue. It is pretty narrow. It's going to be infill development on this block. There is no lane access. So that's what gets us into that variance request is, when the applicant first came to staff, they were either going to need a parking variance or a building frontage minimum variance. And we discussed it and thought the best approach would be to just go after one variance, which would be the building frontage minimum. And you can see that here, I guess, looking at the site plan. So the remedy to just going after one variance would be the installation of a ribbon strip driveway on the side yard of the house, and then reducing the building frontage to 18 feet. The width of the building would be 18 feet instead of 70%, which would be 21 feet of the parcel. So we are recommending approval for the variance because we think it would be much harder for them going to Zoning Board of Appeals and requesting that parking minimum variance due to the historic context of the block and just the Zoning Board of Appeals stances on parking variances. We thought it would be much easier to go after this variance. For development standards, as I said, this is a very small lot and streetcar. It's only 2,820 square feet. If it was subdivided today during NUZO, it wouldn't even become a lot because the minimum lot dimension for lot area in the zoning district is 3,000. So it is a non-conforming lot, but that just puts it into context, the constraints that the petitioner is up against today and why a variance is needed. They are going to go seek that building frontage, minimum building frontage variance, as I mentioned. The maximum height in this district is allowed to be 45 feet. They are only requesting 29 feet and 6 inches. We can see it in the context elevation. It's here. For visual compatibility, although it is a little bit taller than the neighboring buildings, there are examples of contributing buildings on this block that are a similar height, being 510, 515, and 526 Siler Avenue within the block of the historic district. And for width of visual compatibility, we do think the width is visually compatible. Width varies throughout historic neighborhoods, and it almost makes the neighborhood more attractive and appealing by varying widths of buildings, much like the height of buildings. They're always evolving and varying within a historic district. So the petitioner was actually very quick and responded to a lot of the conditions that we had initially established. And this is the updated packet that they have submitted for us today. I'm going to go through some of the updates and the conditions that they have checked off for us. Going into the materials, they've stated initially we were telling them to pick a window that was in the window brochure, which this board has already approved and is seen on a lot of new construction within the historic district. They're going to go with the Anderson A-Series 5-Rex clad windows for all of their windows on the building. Regarding the foundation standards, these have also been updated in the new drawings. They have updated it from lattice boards to these horizontal boards, which does meet the standards for this district here in the, as seen on the porches. And then initially there was not enough fenestration on the ground level of the west elevation because there's that standard that there needs to be a minimum of 30% on the ground floor visible from the street. So as you can see here, we believe they meet the intent of the standard here as this being possibly well over 30% of that ground floor. So that is now met. Then for the porches, this is the one that was not met. As you can see here, there's a standard that reads that the piers of the porch and base walls shall be the same material as the foundation facing the street. So there's still kind of a brick veneer finish on those porches, right, foundation. So we're just asking them to change that to meet the same foundation as the wall facing, which is a slab. And then the last two standards that we had in place for them were regarding that driveway on the block, which should be in the site plan. And one of the standards is they need to connect their front porch to the main public sidewalk, which they have updated here in the site plan. And then also, if you're going to install a driveway on the property, it needs to be ribbon strip style with grass in the middle or a material, a grass-like material. So that's also now updated. So therefore, going to the decision or the recommendation from staff, we're only really looking at number two, which we're recommending approval, but just to change the porch piers as it must be the same material as a foundation facing the street. They have met all these other standards, which we initially put. And then we're also recommending approval for the variance recommendation request to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the building frontage minimum to be reduced from 70% down to 60% as requested. If there's any questions at this time, I can answer them from the board.
This is Robin Williams. Can you clarify number two that you've got there? So you're saying, so the piers are brick, and go to the front elevation just because you've lost me in terms of what is compatible with what.
So we're talking about these express piers.
Right.
On the front porch, they need to match the front foundation of the structure.
So you're saying the piers need to be clapboard wood?
No, they would need to be concrete.
But it has to match the foundation material facing the street. What materials are facing the street?
It would be the main foundation, so... Where's the foundation plan?
But it's not facing the street.
This part is where they've done a slab.
Because that's hidden behind the porch and that's not visible.
That's my interpretation of the ordinance, at least, because it's facing the street.
Okay. If my understanding of the spirit of that part of the ordinance is the foundation piers, there should be a consistent foundation material. And recommending that it be concrete on the front set brick piers seems, I don't know. Anyway, we'll get into it later. And the second question I have for you, shouldn't there be a minimum 5 foot yard setback on the, where it's now 3 foot six? Isn't there a minimum setback?
Is it three for the side yard?
Oh, three, not five.
District. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Rebecca Fenwick. Just wish to disclose Ethos Preservation, my company, consulted on an earlier design with this owner, and we no longer have an active contract and have not commented on this design, and I don't feel like we have a conflict, but I did want to disclose that.
Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, I'd also like to echo that, because I do work for Ethos Preservation. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Litvine, I've got one question for staff. The doors that are proposed on this project, do they meet the standards as steel doors?
Yes, that is an approved material within this district. Yes, doors shall be made of glass, wood, clad wood, or steel without wood grain simulation.
So you've seen the submission and it meets it? Okay, that's my question. Any other questions for staff? All right. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good day. My name is Ina Adams, and I represent Real Investment Savannah.
Do you have any comment about what staff presented?
I just know that I worked back and forth with architect to meet all the requirements. And when I saw recommendations of this stuff, I again, you know, got together with an architect, and we interpreted the brick as the requirement was initially that we would have explicit masonry as a front piers. That was actually recommended by SS Foundation as to meet historic requirements. So we created the brick piers, right, or base, I just, if it's the right word, piers. Or maybe I can scroll and look. And when I received recommendations that facing frontage, that's what I understood as because initially this whole space was a column, and I understood the foundation of the column should match the foundation of the house. So that's why this brick appeared here higher. And looking at houses within visible, you know, approach, even the house on the right, I just don't know how to switch to that. That would be the look that they use as to have this, you know, masonry columns or foundation for the column and then, you know, columns on the top. So I believe just for the reason of, you know, compatibility with houses around, this would be the best look as from my analysis as I look at the houses and as I was reading the directions which were needed. So personally, I believe that's what should be as far as to being compatible with all around houses. With the rest, again, as Ethan Kingman just addressed, that we addressed all other issues. So if anything else, I'm sure we can handle it. There is nothing impossible.
Terrific. Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
This is just for the sake of, as you may have deduced from my earlier comments, I agree with you. The brick is a more historically compatible as opposed to saying concrete for these piers. But one solution, if the expectation is these brick piers match the foundation around the rest, would cladding the other parts foundation in brick or a veneer of brick be an option so that you meet that standard of everything being compatible? Would that be a...
As of current situation, we have slab foundation, and which was not forbidden to use, let me find. And I have personal preferences why we would use the slab foundation, as I have been remodeling homes for 2 years, and foundation, raised foundations, they always have problems. There was not one house which had no problems with foundation. So once I started building new houses with my company, our choice to do slab foundation, as that's for preservation purposes for that house to stay much longer in a usable condition, and people don't have to address that. And it was not a requirement to use raised foundation. That's why, you know, we addressed the slab and masonry just from the front street to be, you know, seen as historical.
Right. Okay, thank you.
And the it's a narrow lot, and setbacks are so narrow. So I wonder if you could even see the sides of the house if you have to or want to.
Right. Thank you.
Dr. Williams, if I may make a comment. This is Ethan Hagman for staff. I think it's within the board's power to keep it as it is. I mean, that was just more my reading of the ordinance. So if the board sees it more visually compatible and that's how they read the ordinance, I don't see an issue with keeping it as is.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, we will now enter into board discussion at this. Oh, I'm sorry, public, sorry. All right, is there any members of the public who would like to comment? Please step forward and state your name for the record.
Ryan Charles, Historic Savannah Foundation. We met this past Monday, our architectural review committee did. I just wanted to make one comment, and that is that we agree the brick is a much more compatible material. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the public? All right, so we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We will start the discussion with Virginia.
No comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with Ryan Jarls from HSF and echo what Robin Williams, I know your name, Robin Williams said. So I agree that we should let it go as is. So approve with what they have presented us with the.
It would be no conditions at that point.
Right, because they have addressed all of them. Okay. Robin Williams, I do know your name. I'm sorry.
So just for clarification, so it's not just removal of condition two. It'd be, did you just say remove all the conditions? Because they've met them.
Yes, sir. So they've, throughout the presentation, I walked through every condition that they had met. The applicant was very speedy and working for architect to get the changes made back.
So it was only number two that remained?
Correct.
Okay. Perfect. So
there would be no conditions, and then it would just be voting on that variance recommendation request as well.
Thank you.
May Bowley, I agree. Keep the brick. No conditions.
I agree with keeping the bricks. Pam Miller.
I concur with all the previous statements. Please.
Rebecca Fenwick, no further comment.
Jeff Nutrika, no further comment.
I think we are all comfortable in hearing a motion.
It's Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve new construction small parts one and two of a single family residence in the vacant parcel located at 523 Siler Avenue with no conditions and approval for a variance recommendation request for the reduction of the building frontage from minimum 70%, 21 feet, to the proposed 60%, 18 feet in that standard. Since the variance is consistent with the intent of this ordinance.
Kirsten Connor, I second.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
May Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Thank you. Moving on. We'll hear the petition of Greenline Architecture, 1705 Abercorn Street, new construction, small parts one and two, and variance recommendation.
Thank you. This is Ethan Higman again for staff. This is new construction, small one and two of a new commercial building located on this vacant parcel at 1705 Abercorn. The parcel is the existing parking area right here, very small parcel. They're also seeking a variance recommendation request today to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard in Zoning District TN2 for a side yard setback reduction from 3 feet to 2 feet and 6 inches. So this is, again, going to be a commercial building. If my screen's able to catch up with me. This is a part of the former code compliance building project where on Drayden Street in East 34th, they're adding 42 residential units. This parcel is going to be the commercial component of that project, and that's what's here before you today. Going into that variance, this is a very minimal reduction of the variance. I'll show you guys the parcel. So on Sages, here we are. It's 24.5 feet by 74.6. One of the smaller parcels you're going to see within the Streetcar Historic District. So if they didn't get a variance, it's very likely this parcel will never be developed. But moving into that variance request, it's going to be the development standards say there needs to be a minimum of 3 feet on the side yard setback. The property lines are right here, the 3 foot over right here, overlapping with the pilaster of the front and the rear. So that'll be just a 6-inch reduction. We're recommending approval on that request. We find all the visual compatibilities of this building to be met, and we think it would be a great addition to Abercorn Street, a continuation of the vibrant street. The only condition we're giving is when the petitioner had submitted, they had asked for a variance request from the standard that reads all other non-residential facades shall incorporate transparent features, windows and doors, over a minimum of 50% of the ground floor facade. This one does not meet 50%, and that's mainly due to fire code. It being so close to the neighboring building, they're not going to be allowed to have that glazing up to 50%. So they will need to come back next month and ask for a special exception, as a design standard is not a variable standard since it's not within the development standards. So they're going to need to ask for a special exception. I'll also show you guys the rendering, because this kind of puts into perspective its layout to the neighboring buildings. Also the lane that will be connecting it from Abercorn to Drayden. Another condition we are requesting, this is pretty minimal. We're just asking to know where the electric meter is going to be located, as it was not listed on the site plan. But in all other regards, we are recommending approval for this project with the two conditions that I mentioned of providing the electric meter location and to come back for a special exception next month for the standard of fenestration on the ground floor. And then we're also recommending approval for the variance recommendation for the building setback of that side yard setback to allow for the setback to now be 2 feet, 6 inches, which was a reduction of 6 inches because it meets the variance criteria. If there's any questions from the board, I'd be happy to answer them.
Rebecca Fenwick, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just curious, if a lot has an approved COA of a different design, I mean, does this new COA negate the other one? Or could either application be built?
Yeah, so they... So once you guys approve a COA and it's signed off, it has 2 years to begin the construction process, so to pull a building permit, what have you not, for that design. I believe it is still available. I believe it's still lasting. From my understanding, it's just the construction cost of the two-story building versus one was just a little bit high at the time, so this is a
just
better
more
option.
Like a procedural curiosity, so thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
This is Robin Williams. I was just going to ask, why do they have to come back next month for the special exception? Why not do it this month?
It's just a procedural issue. They need to post a sign 15 days out, also saying they're requesting a special exception.
Got it. Thanks.
I have a question. The existing building, how far from the property line is it?
I believe it follows the same setback as well. I'm honestly not 100% sure, but it may actually be a little bit further. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not sure, but my understanding, it is a little bit further. I believe the property line sort of ends at this division between the gravel and grass. So they also have that ramp set up at the moment. But the petitioner could probably clarify what I say as well.
Okay. The reason I ask is because the conceptual drawings that you showed, it looks like the new building is very close to the existing building.
Yeah, it's hard to tell from that angle, but oh, here we go. Yeah, so I'm not sure the exact dimensions, what it would be.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, everyone. My name is Keith Ellington, here to represent Green Line Architecture and the property at 705 Abercorn Street. Thank you, everyone, for hearing us today. Ms. Mobley, to answer your question, I don't know exactly how far that building is off of the property line. I would assume it's within the legal ramifications of the code. Of course, we're only allowed to set ours back 3 feet from the property line. So that's what we're trying to adhere to, is that 3 feet, and not worry about what's happening on the other side. What I do know, to answer your question, or what I believe I know, I'm not exactly sure, but I've been told by the owner that a portion of the ramp foundations is likely on the property line itself. So that ramp is possibly on the property line. So there may be some things that have to work out with the next owner with the ramp and, you know, being next to the owner. And the owner that I'm representing was very willing to work with the adjacent property owner and make that happen as well. And if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And having been a lifelong resident of that area, there is nothing in that area that you can assume is consistent anywhere.
That's correct. It is. And if you look even further down at those residences, they're very close to each other as well. They're probably within 6 feet as well to each other. So that's very consistent with that pattern along the street. And then this one is, you know, it's a very small lot of only 24 and a half feet, so I can't squeeze it in any more. It's actually right on the property line without a setback on the lane, which mimics what happens across the street at Sly's at that property as well. It's very, very, it's the same condition. So it's a very tight lot. I can say I may be able to squeeze another 6 inches out of it. So, because the only thing that's over the property line, the variance, when I first presented this to staff, I had it in stucco, and then the suggestion was made that perhaps brick would be better. And I agree. I think brick is better for this building. And as we were doing it, some of the pilasters, that 6 inches of that brick went over the property line, and I just didn't have time to squeeze that kitchen down. If you look at the plans, it's probably one of the smallest kitchens in town. So it's a very small restaurant. But I may be able to work with that. I'm not sure, but that's
where is it? Excuse me, but where is it located in conjunction with the line of the lane?
It is more than 6 inches off of that lane. I can look at it. So it doesn't set over the property line on the lane.
It's only six inches from the property line?
No, ma'am. I think it's a foot. I think it's – I can't exactly recall. So I am 6 inches to the main wall from the property line. And then if you'll notice across the street on Sly's, the restaurant, that building – is on the property line as well. So that was what we were looking at, trying to maximize our lot, because the building is only 21 feet wide. Very small building. I can only put 14 people or something in there.
And Sly's is that whole block over there is a building that my great-grandfather built, and it was a contiguous building of various commercial uses and residential uses. So, I mean, I know that they all butt up together because they were contiguous.
Yes, ma'am. And that particular building is on the property, on that same lane, that 33rd lane. It's on the property line as well. So. And then to the COA question, just to kind of give you some background of that, there was a previous property that was approved here, or previous COA that was approved. It's a two-story, very contemporary design. The owner, you know, it only yielded about a 300-square-foot commercial space to lease on the ground floor, because by the time you had stairs, bathrooms, it's a very tiny commercial space. So it wasn't economically feasible to do that. No one wants a 300-square-foot commercial space. So those spaces became very small. As you can see it with a restaurant, it's a very small restaurant. If I had to add a stair in here to get up to the second floor, couldn't do it here either, and try to make it work. So we've tried to meet all the ordinance, the intent of the ordinance. And I agree with the staff's comments, and I would like to answer any questions you may have.
Questions for the petitioner? Rebecca Fenwick, is this still part of the other development? Or
it is still part of the other, same owners. They just wanted to go in a different route, and not that other two-story. They just didn't really, they changed their mind on what they want to do there? Different use.
Do you know if we should be expecting other for the other parcels as well? Do you know?
I don't know anything about okay. that. I'm not working on those. I was just sure. hired to work.
Okay.
These. And I think that's moving through as it
okay.
is. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Please state your name for the record.
Ryan Jarles, Historic Savannah Foundation. Again, our ARC met this last Monday, so I came with their comments, and I echo their comments. We find this to be the most wholly appropriate and compatible commercial structure and design we've seen in this district in pretty much all of recent past. So we just wanted to thank the petitioners for their work. Thank you.
Is there one more comment? No. All right. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start the conversation with Jeff.
I like what I see. It's good. So I'd like to see it move forward.
Rebecca Fenwick, I echo Historic Savannah Foundation. I think it's compatible design.
Karen Bailey, I agree.
Pam Miller, I have nothing to add to that.
May Boley, agree. Good looking building.
Robin Williams, I agree.
Kirsten Connor, I wholeheartedly agree with HSF. I think this is a wonderful building.
Virginia Mobley, agree.
Terrific. I think we can entertain a motion.
This is Darren Bagley Heath. I put forward a motion that we approve new construction small parts 1 and 2 of a new commercial building located on the vacant parcel of 1705 Abercorn Street with the following conditions: that the petitioner provide the location of the electric meter and apply for a special exemption for the standards which read all other non-residential facades shall incorporate transparent features, windows and doors over a minimum of 50% of the ground floor facade, and that we approve for the variance recommendation to the ZBA for the standard regarding side yard interior setbacks in Article 5.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
For the vote, Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. We'll now hear the petition of Bob Isaacson, 537 East Anderson Lane, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Ethan Hagman for staff once again. I just wanted to show you guys a street view of this property, just to kind of view what we're working with here. So this is actually a pretty unique situation here. This is a huge vacant parcel on East Anderson Lane that they're proposing new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a duplex. The context that we've been going off of and the petitioner's been going off of in this project is these two contributing duplexes down here, which are also located on the lane. So yes, regarding one of the conditions is for this zoning district, there's a rear development standard for rear yard setbacks of 20 feet. Just given the nature of this parcel, that's not going to be possible. So they're doing 12 feet 2 inches here, which would be a reduction. So one of the conditions is they're going to have to come back to you guys for a variance recommendation request, again, like previous projects, but that will occur next month meeting. We've talked with the petitioner already.
But just to give you guys a layout of where this parcel, where this property sits on the parcel, the neighboring buildings are going to be down here. As you can see, this is the outline parcel. So the front elevation of the house, and also the petitioner was very quick on making changes on this one as well. So these are updated drawings from the preliminary agenda, which they have met some of the conditions. We do believe for scale that the visual compatibility criteria is met, because the houses are a similar style to houses on East Anderson Lane, and then also the block, the houses that it's going to be in the rear of as well, a similar architecture style. Regarding some of the design standards, there's a standard for foundation configuration where beneath a wood frame building, the foundation shall be recessed and not project forward of the building plane. Originally, the petitioner had put a brick water table, which is shown in this packet. This is actually the updated right here. As you can see, they've removed it as well. And this updated packet's also going to show the context elevations. Here's the ridge line of the rear residence in the back. So that street would be, it's going to be East 31st Street that it's going to be behind. So they've put those context elevations as well. And then these are the context elevations of the adjacent properties further down the lane that are the contributing buildings. The 24 feet, 6 inches is well below that development standard maximum height for TN2. One of the other conditions was for the petitioner to provide a door specification, which they also provided. They'd like to go with this door with a transom light. This is one of the images that they've shown to us. So they could talk more on that as well, but we find the standard to be met on that as well. So given that, we are recommending approval for this project with the condition, it would be one condition, that the petitioner will need to seek a rear yard setback variance. If there's any questions, I can answer them at this time.
Can you go to the front elevation facing the lane?
This would be the update.
Or the front and this and the profile. So that's the front and okay, that works. Okay, I don't know if I address this to you or to the petitioner, but the configuration of the porch with the porch roof at a different slope intersecting with the main roof actually isn't consistent with lane housing in Savannah. If you go down any lane and see freestanding houses, the porch roof is always under the eave of the main roof. So I think that's something that should be added as a condition. Go down any lane and even the ones down the street, although they're front gabled, so they're not the best point of reference, but go down any of the lanes to the north that come by East Broad. It's always the main roof and then under the soffit. So it's an easy fix, but it struck me as really odd looking here. So I don't know if you looked at other lane housing as a point of reference.
It's a good catch, definitely.
So anyway.
Any other questions for staff?
Yep. I got a question. I see there's two proposed rear elevations, one which has what I can only assume is a dormer, although I'm not quite sure how to read it. Are there no requirements for dormer windows on second story roof attic situations?
Not that we have in the streetcar historic district. And also the rear elevation won't be visible from the public right of way, which is out of our purview.
Okay.
For recommendations on that aspect.
I guess because it's meant to be a two-story dwelling, not like a one-story with an attic.
Correct. I think they're going for
one and a half story.
Let me see the floor plan.
Yeah, I think it's two bedroom.
Yeah. That's the second floor plan.
Two bedrooms.
Yeah. But we have no purview over whether or not they should put windows along those long sides is what I'm asking, really, because I would say dormers if I could, but
yeah, I don't believe the board has purview over that situation.
All right. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. And then I believe this is the new rear elevation that they're proposing. My understanding is this is an alternate. I'm sure the petitioner could expand on that one.
And we can't really talk about it since it's not visible from the public right away, correct? But those dormers, are those dormers? What are they? Because they look like they've got siding. Would they have windows on the ends? Is this just more for like a closet, I would imagine, maybe?
Yeah, I don't believe there's any windows on the dormers for this alternate. I believe the windows for the rooms would be
just on the two ends. Okay, but either way, we don't have commentary over this because it's not visible.
Not from my understanding.
Thank you for clarifying.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
The adjacent houses appear to project into the rear yard of the houses that they are behind. Where are these houses going to be placed in relation to the existing housing?
So from this image? Are you asking like where on this image they're proposed to be placed?
Well,
or
if you look at the other end of the block, mm-hmm. the greenhouses project. Oh. They project behind the fence line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm asking, where are these houses going to be placed in relation to that fence line?
Right. Yeah. So it'd still be 12 feet. 6 inches from their site plan. Yeah, so you're still looking at 12 feet, 6 inches down here, which I'm not sure if the fence is the property line, but from wherever the property line is, 12 feet, 2 inches, if I'm mistaken. So yeah, you're looking at 12 feet, two inches from probably about here.
So these houses are going behind the gray houses that are here, not the ones down where the blue car is.
Actually, I believe it's behind this house right here, but
okay,
yeah,
that fence is set back further than the gray house fence.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a 6 feet from that fence. 12 from that fence.
Yes, ma'am.
How deep is that lot?
It should be 44 feet on this end of the parcel. It's kind of a interesting shaped parcel because you have 53 feet down here, but then yeah, 44 feet give or take from where they're proposing.
So the whole size of the lot is what? 44 by what?
273 on the south end. Yeah, it's an interesting lot. It's never been subdivided. I'm not sure what the intentions are in the future if they plan to subdivide it, but at the moment this is how the parcel sits.
Interesting. Anything further, Virginia? No. Any other questions for staff?
I'm looking at page 5 of the plans, and I guess I'm scratching my head. Maybe y'all can help me, or maybe, you know. But how is the second floor plan a smaller footprint than the first floor plan if in the elevations there's no stepping in of the structure?
Yeah.
But how is the footprint smaller?
Oh, well, so the depth of the first floor appears to be 29 feet opposed to 23 feet on the second floor.
So the floor of the second floor is under the eave, above the eave, north of the eave, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you. I just want to, but it's not, because if I look at the side elevation, the bottom of the windowsill is lower than the eave. So it's not possible that the footprint of the second floor, unless the second floor is cutting right through the window. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
That honestly be a question for the petitioner.
So y'all get what I'm saying, right? But look at the side elevation. Okay. Okay.
It's attic storage on the north south, right?
Help me. I'm sorry to take up everybody's time.
I'm gonna cut down that.
I'm there. Thank you, Darren.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
That's not Bob. Good day. Stan Perkins for Mr. Isaacson. And to address what you mentioned earlier, Mr. Williams, yeah, we're more than happy to move that roofline down under there. No problem at all. We'll make that change.
Thank you. Just yes, want sir. To keep you in in the traditions of Great Lane housing in the city.
Yes, sir. No problem. And just wanted to say a special thanks to Ethan and Leah. They put me through the ringer. But my ignorance was a blessing just to receive all the knowledge that they had. So very thankful for them.
Thank you. This is Kathy Ledvina. Would you be willing to work with staff with that for that new design? Bring
sure.
it to staff
no,
for approval.
No problem at all. Of course.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? You want to talk about the dormers or? All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Saying. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We will start the conversation with Jeff.
I recommend approval.
Rebecca Fenwick, I think we've had good discussion already. I don't have any further comment.
Darren Bagley, I'm with Rebecca on that.
Pam Miller, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
So just to formalize my recommendations, a further condition would be to reduce the height of the front porches or one continuous front porch so that's roof be lower than the main soffit of the main roof and work with staff to make sure that they hit the mark on that.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with Robin Williams, so that's no further comment from me.
I agree with Virginia Mobley. I agree with the comments that have been made, and I think we can move forward.
Ready for a motion.
So this is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve the staff recommendation for approval of new construction small parts 1-2 the side-by-side duplex on the vacant parcel located 537 East Anderson Lane with the three staff conditions and an additional fourth condition that the height of the porches be reduced so that their roof can meet the building below the main soffit of the building to be in conformity with lane housing elsewhere in Savannah's historic districts.
Second.
Darren Bagley, I second that.
All in favor?
Virginia Mobley approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Robin Williams approved.
May Boley approved.
Pam Miller approved.
Darren Bagley-Heath approved.
Rebecca Fenwick approved.
Jeff Contrica approved.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Moving on. Petition of Juan Edy, 513 East 34th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 513 East 34th Street. So I guess a bit of context is that this was heard at the last meeting. I personally wasn't at the last meeting, so I'm just going off of what I know. But there was an issue with the public sign posting, so it was continued to this meeting. So we're hearing it again at this meeting. But to go through it, it is a new two-story single-family home constructed on a vacant lot on East 34th Street. It's hardy board siding. And here is the elevation as proposed. Staff only had some minor comments as far as design standards. We found it to be visually compatible as there's similar approved designs on this block, and it meets all the base zoning standards. So the only two comments we had were to provide the roof pitch for this rear porch roof, as well as to revise the rear door to be a permitted material instead of fiberglass, so wood or steel, et cetera, would be more appropriate than fiberglass. So those are the choices in the ordinance the petitioner can choose. And so our recommendations stayed the same, which is to approve with those conditions. But I'll answer any questions the board has of staff.
Are there any questions for staff?
This is Robin Williams. I just want to make sure this isn't a drawing error, but that rear door, the canopy, can you zoom in on that canopy over the door?
Yeah.
It just looks kind of strange the way the canopy is not centered above the door. Do you know if that's the way it's designed? Is that a drawing error?
I'll defer to the petitioner on that one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good evening, everyone. The name is Juan Edie with JED Construction Company. And I believe that is an error. Let me just...
Oh, yeah. Is that railing, this one?
Okay.
Is it something we can show on screen that you've already submitted?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Yes, ma'am, it is. In actuality, waiting on to come back before the board, I brought some drawings I wanted to share. The owner who don't own it yet but wants to purchase the home, they wanted a balcony on the back, and as opposed to that roof over the bottom, it won't exist anymore because there's going to be a balcony, 10 protruding out of the house by 20 wide, the width of the house. And I brought a bunch of...
Is that something we have to continue, Leah?
Or we could just continue what we have, and I could do a comeback.
That's probably the easiest, wouldn't it be? A continuance?
I would like if it pleases the board to approve it as it is, and then I can always do an after the fact.
No, after the fact.
Approve it as is and then come back if you choose to build the balcony.
Correct.
What we can't do is have you build it and then ask for approval. But I assume you know that.
Well,
what we would call an after the fact approval.
Oh,
we don't want that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No. Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
In other words, no, I'm not going to do it without you guys' approval, but
right.
I would like to get started because it's on the second story and it's going to probably take about 4 months or more to even get that far. So I'm thinking I can come back and I don't know what the timeline would be to ask for, to put in for a balcony, but. I would just like to get started if that is okay. Nothing
it
has
puts
changed
us in a different spot if people bring things on the same day as the meeting.
I'm sorry.
You know, changes. If changes come in to us on the same day as the meeting, it puts us in a tough spot to approve it today, if that makes sense. Right? Because everyone else has had their application in a month in advance and all that jazz. So we got to go through the staff review and then provide a comment to us and so on.
So regardless of that balcony, can you answer Dr. Williams' question?
Sure.
So my question was regarding what we're presented with today. There's a, what do you call it? Anyway, a little hipped roof. There's a little hipped roof over the rear door, and the hipped roof is not centered over the door. It looks very odd. And the door, in fact, looks really close, almost improbably close to the outer wall, because the wall presumably has some thickness. And then the wall, and then the door has its own jam and so on. Is the door supposed to be centered under that canopy? Like, is the door drawn in the wrong spot, basically?
Well, it's supposed to be centered into the canopy. It's just a drawing error.
Okay. Because I, just for the sake of, in case this doesn't happen, right, we need to make sure that whatever gets approved is compatible to the city's architectural traditions, and which this would not. And so I guess it would be we could write into the conditions that to verify with staff that the door is appropriately centered under the canopy if you build it, right? It and that the door is appropriately located. Do you have a plan? No, with this packet. Is there, Jamie, is there a plan view? That shows the door?
Yeah.
That's it? Is there a dimensioned plan? There we go. Okay. Which floor were we looking?
This first floor here. First.
Where's the rear? Sorry.
There.
That's 306. Okay. That's the door there. Okay.
Yeah.
But the plan doesn't show the overhangs of the roof or anything.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, then we can't obviously vote or have any say on this because it wasn't submitted to us.
Okay.
But it's, oh, yeah, sorry.
Kathy Levine, I have an additional question about that door configuration. Is it just, it's the other drawing showed that the slab, the porch slab extended beyond, and then there was one handrail going down, and then you were missing the other handrail. Is that, are you doing dual handrails?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess my question is, does it extend past that door, or is it? The drawing in the
okay here
site plan shows here's the door. See how there's only one railing going
yes,
down?
Ma'am. Yes.
There's a second railing on the other side, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. And then it extends past that door just a little bit more, like the site plan
shows.
The
actual door is too close to the edge. It's just a flaw in the
still drawing error.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be willing to clarify that with staff before?
Sure.
Okay.
I could initial it if you like.
We'll just submit a detailed drawing of that portion.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Please state your name for the record.
Sure. Patrick Connell. I represent the neighbor 519 West 34th Street, East 34th Street. In looking at the foundation section of the ordinance for the streetcar historic district. It looks like to me in section 2A1, foundations shall be consist of brick, stone, or true stucco over concrete block piers. That seems to be the preference of the ordinance, and the preamble under foundation says the intent of these standards is to ensure that foundations match the traditional pattern of construction in height and materials and complement the craftsmanship of contributing buildings. This lot is on a street with several contributing buildings, all of which are on pier construction as opposed to slab-on-grade foundations. Now, I do realize that subsection 3 of the materials section says that slab-on-grade foundations shall be allowed where the slab has been built up to a minimum of 30 inches. Is there a way to require a pier-type construction here for this property? My client has a contributing structure on the lot next door, and right next to him on the other side is a contributing structure, both of which are on pier foundations. We think it is appropriate for this property to be on the pier foundation as well.
Any other? Go ahead, Rebecca.
Forgive me. Perhaps I should have been listening a little bit more intently. Is this a concern about runoff? No.
It's not so much runoff as it is under the spirit of your ordinance. It's that it's to be a traditional pattern of construction and materials and complement the craftsmanship of contributing.
So it's a compatibility concern.
Right.
Correct.
For the purpose of this.
So for clarification, it's a pier versus a continuous foundation.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any other questions for the petitioner? For the public?
Well, it does appear the drawings that they will have a brick veneer on the front and the sides of the front porch that have brick veneer emulating brick pier construction. So what I see on screen right now, if you look at the details under the porch, it says brick veneer, emulating a kind of pier construction. See in the top over to the left of the front elevation, that it says brick veneer, and over on the front elevation, so there will be, even though it's kind of hard to read, there will be the appearance from the front of brick pier construction, even if it is a veneer.
Something the petitioner might want to address.
Sure. Here at ED Construction, what we actually provide and build for homeowners is a maintenance-free home. And so the reason why we choose to use, like a stem wall, to build on, then pour concrete and so forth, is because sometimes piers tend to, over the years, can move, if that makes sense. Okay. And I got, and just like the lady who said earlier, who was speaking on having the front brick post. Well, the thing about having more like a crawl space house, sometimes you have more issues with a crawl space house, which means that the house is built on piers, as opposed to having a solid, foundation to build it on. So what I don't want to do is come back 10, 20, 30 years from now, want to sue me because the house shifted or moved, if that makes sense to everybody. Only thing I'm saying is that it's just more, like I say, what we provide for, from ED Construction is a maintenance-free home. Maintenance-free meaning maintenance from, no type of extra work has to come in after we leave.
Any questions for the petitioner? So just to clarify it, you'll have brick piers, and then you'll have the step back of 3 inches with a stucco-faced concrete block.
That is correct. In other words,
on the front.
Yes,
porch.
The brick itself is...
It shows on the drawings that, well, as I read them, that there's almost, it almost looks like as if there's a header course of brick continuing to the next brick pier.
And that is correct. What it is on the corners of the house, it's like a facade is the word I'm looking for. It protrudes out like it's sitting on a column, but in actuality is not. And just to share something with the board, I've built this same house 6 times in the area. The same exact house. I can call out the numbers if you like.
Can we look at it on Google?
508.
Just one.
Okay.
In that same example. Well, I think it'll give the
501.
The public a better idea of what
501.
501. Well, I think it'll give the public a better understanding of what it'll look like.
These ones. These ones. Over here.
That exact one right there.
Does that help you?
Yes, can you see? Yeah. And as you can see,
go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just saying that, in other words, it has the appearance of being a column or, but it's actually the whole house is solid. And what we do, we come back and we, on top of the center blocks, we actually smooth it out with like a mud that makes it look like it's smooth, but it sits back 3.5 inches from the, so it appears like it's sitting on a column, but it's actually the whole house is solid. And also, you don't have to worry about the house shifting or moving down in the future. So, like I say, what we provide to all our clients is a maintenance-free home.
Mr. Ely, if I just want to interject for a moment because we're going around in circles. We've approved this before, so it's kind of a moot point as far as the design process.
Well, each petition is separate, but I was just hoping that helped Mr. O'Connell, right? Connor, excuse me. Does that give you a better understanding?
Yeah, and we were aware of that. We would prefer him to construct a true.
Yes.
We would prefer, and we've discussed this with him previously. We would prefer that it be a true pier foundation. And if he wants to fill in the space between with stucco over concrete, but actually have brick piers around the entirety of the house would be our preference.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for petitioner or the public? Sure, combined.
Is there a way that the piers could be placed along the side to look like they are a brick?
I don't believe we have the purview over that. If his design meets the standards, then we can't require him to change it just because of the neighbor's preference.
No, I understand that, but we do have some leeway on how the foundation looks aesthetically.
Kirsten Connor, the other point I would like to make is these lots are so close together, you're barely going to see the side of these houses.
What is the distance going to be between this house and the neighbor's house?
Well, each lot that I built on was 30-foot lots. And so it's like 3 foot on 3 feet on each side of the house. So in between the houses, in between each house is 6 feet. From one house to the next house is 6 feet.
Okay. Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Any other members of the public? Go back. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start the discussion with Virginia.
I would just like some consideration of delineating the long structure of concrete with some break in the facade, whether it is one brick or three bricks thick, that would indicate pillars. That would give it some architectural change.
Kirsten Connor, I think this particular design is very compatible with the surrounding area, and I don't see a point in having the petitioner add some bump outs and brick veneer to the sides of the building. You're barely going to see it, and we haven't done it in the past, up to recently as well. So I would like to recommend that we approve this based on staff recommendations.
Although a fence doesn't appear to be part of this petition, but it would be a typical historical condition that a fence would come to the facade, not to the front leading edge of the porch, but rather to the leading edge of the house proper. And if that condition existed, then you would never see the sides where the foundations are, just the concrete, which will have stucco, it sounds like, on them. So to concur with Kirsten on that point, so.
Yep, I agree. I think since it does meet the standard and it's compatible, I think we let her go.
Pam Miller, I think if I rode down the street and saw the south, I think it would be on piers. So, you know, I agree with as it's presented. Thank you.
I have no further comment. Darren Bagley.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
Jeff Natriga, no further comment.
Any other comments? All right, we can proceed to a motion.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I make a motion. We approve the design for new construction, parts 1 and 2 at 513 East 34th Street with staff conditions.
Maybe we second.
Are we going to include the revised drawing of the rear door?
To include an additional condition to have the rear door designed to include the overhang and the balusters be presented to staff for final approval.
Is there a second?
May Boley second.
Let's start the vote with Virginia.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Robin Williams approved.
May Boley approved.
Pam Miller approved.
Darren Bagley Heath approved.
Rebecca Fenwick approved.
Jeff Dentrica approved. Oh,
thank you. Continuing on, the petition of Shaw Architecture and Interiors, 2430 Habersham Street. Rehabilitation, alteration, and addition.
This is Jamie Zarillo again presenting the staff recommendation for 2430 Habersham Street, alterations and additions. So let me pull up some context pictures further down. Oops. One thing. So this is the existing conditions on the lot. The petitioner is proposing to add more seating here, as well as an awning, an addition here for office space and storage space, as well as to remove this applied mansard roof. They're also proposing to add new storefront systems and a architectural feature called a green wall right here, which I'll show renderings of. So pulling up their proposed design, here's that awning and that new seating space, as well as you can see the CMU block addition that comes out here. There's actually a space between where you can walk through, which I'll show in the floor plan. And this is the proposed green wall here, green, illustrated in these renderings here. Oops. And there's that walk space between the addition and then the seating space, awning, and new lighting as proposed. Scrolling up. You can see the new storefront systems as proposed, which are aluminum, doors to match, which are aluminum as well. The awning is constructed of metal and wood, and the new roof material will be a TPO roof. Again, they're using the existing flat roof. They're just taking off that applied mansard roof that's around the flat roof or the parapet. So staff only has one comment, which is we don't find the green walls proposed to be visually compatible with the surrounding context. So as a condition, we are just asking the petitioner to remove that from the proposal, and otherwise everything else meets the standards we find to be approvable, as this is a non-contributing building and the surrounding context is primarily contemporary. With that, our recommendation would be approval with removing that green wall screen as proposed on the facade facing Haversham Street. And if there are any questions for staff.
Any questions? Rebecca Fenwick, parking is not in our purview, correct?
Correct.
Any other questions? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michael Johnson from Shaw Architecture. Appreciate all of your patience so far late in the day like this. I would like to speak a little bit to this. Unfortunately, we called it a green screen on the drawings. It really is not a green screen. I don't think that's what our intention was. It was a bad choice of words. But there are two reasons for this structure. One is very functional, and the other is a little bit more aesthetic. Functionally, you've all been probably to Green Truck in the evenings, and those windows face directly west. There is no building across the street. It's a wide open parking lot. So right around dinner time, the sun gets brutal, and it's very difficult for the interior. They have shades, but there's also an egress door there, so that's a problem. And there really isn't, awnings aren't a solution because it's just too low on horizon for the sun. So we thought about what kind of vertical application we could do to solve some of the shading issues for the interior of the restaurant. The other issue is more of an urban and aesthetic issue. All of you, I'm sure, are quite familiar with this neighborhood. It is within the mid-city district, but it is a little bit anomalous. A lot of the buildings are not contributing. It is a commercial part of the street, which is not uncommon to have commercial in a kind of traditional urban neighborhood. But this one, I think you could probably say most of the surrounding buildings are of a non-contributing, non-conforming context. So the establishment of a context to match would really push us over to the residential houses on the next block or on Maupaw there, which leads us to a porch, which is why this kind of falls under the non-conforming to porch category. So what we tried to do is look a little bit towards a more look for a context in a traditional commercial block district set within an early 20th century or turn of the century neighborhood. And if we look at those as an example of design, what we find is most of those commercial structures front the property line. They form a neighborhood by bringing the building or bringing the facades to the street. And that is the context that we're trying to convey with this intentionally designed wall that has a grid and a pattern that that supports the design of the structure. Now, I think that being said, when we look at this context, forgive me for a minute. I had written something and I don't remember what I was, it's late in the day, too many emails. So that being the context, we look to form that edge on the front of this building. And What we really would like to consider this as is kind of like a provisional facade. And what I mean by that is we're constructing something that it's not temporary. It's designed to be in place now, but it's also probably designed to have an end date. Because this building being a, you know, an 80s kind of a rural drive-through restaurant per its original construction was not contextual with this neighborhood. It still isn't. And there's nothing we're doing in this project that we really can, you know, overhaul the whole thing to make it some grander project. So we're looking at maybe we can create something that, that is permanent for now in provisional, what I mean, but designed to have an end date, built in such a way that it isn't masonry or some other finish that might be considered more appropriate, but might make this building that is non-contextual more permanent than it already is, looking for the future where perhaps there's a better use and development of this site. And so I just want to explain what I mean by a provisional facade. It's not temporary because it's here for now in this time. But it's meant for, it's not meant to make the building more permanent than it already is. So I think within those two contexts, and if we look at it that way, I'm not sure it, you know, it falls necessary in the category of a porch or entrance. It really has a function from a shading function and from a design standpoint to set that help the neighborhood reset the street of a commercial district in a traditional neighborhood. And I would like to show a couple examples to be able to get that. Is it? Okay, thank you. Sorry. So if we look this photo right now here, you know, you've got, you can see a little bit of what we're talking about. This building is set back. It's fronted with bushes. It doesn't really have a commercial street presence. And that's one of the things we're trying to add back in. And what we're proposing is really not, you know, a world away from necessarily the fence across the street. It's a little bit taller and it has a grid that supports the design of the building. Okay. But you can also see without the building there, the sun problem we have in the evenings in that dining room. If we go down the street, I'm sure you're all familiar with this building. I think this building did something in a very similar way. They're not growing things on it, but that's okay. What they took in this case, what I think was a contributing building, and I think did a very nice approach to rebuilding that street front to create a space, a private space behind it, and show that this is now a new use. It's a different use, but it's not something that makes the building more permanent than it already was. And then I think, you know, we have this, which is another example within the district. This one, I love the design intent. I'm not as crazy about the execution of this one. You know, this shows a faux green, so this is not at all what we're intending. But here's a building that sat on an angle. It didn't sit in a historically contextual way with the street. But this actual wall helps form that street front. Helps let you know that is now a new space. It is a converted space. So that's what we're asking for. So we're asking the board and the staff to reconsider the allowance of this screen or provisional facade on the building. And I'm happy to take any questions you guys might have.
This is Robin Williams. So based on the kind of examples you were showing, you proposed something that had a kind of almost like a trellis with green. Actually, I was just showing Kirsten the cotton and rye example before you showed it. Would something, you know, some alternative design to the one you proposed be an option for you and your client?
Yes. I mean, we are open to some alternative designs. I would say, you know, there is a tradition of a garden wall, right? But it's more of a residential tradition. We would like something that does provide some filtered light. So we don't want like a, Like, I think the cotton rye is great, but it's probably a little too filtered. It limits too much of the view from the street. We really liked the idea that this is provide the shade we need, might provide filtered light during the day, but then also in the evening provide filtered light the other way to the street to show the activity in that this is an active space and a functional thing.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
This is Jeff Ventrico. Michael, do you have a photo that shows or rendering that shows a better view of what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I'm going to go to, this is not exactly it, but let's see if I can find that. They did something similar. This is, let's see if we can find the, so this is, is that coming up? Can't get that any bigger. This is a little overgrown and doesn't express exactly what we're trying to do. But this is a restaurant in Charleston that the building here, this is its original, did that go back? I'm sorry, Beth. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Here we go. So this picture that's highlighted over there, is that big enough? Can everybody see that? Wait. I can't zoom. Where there was a building, it was set back very far from the street, and they created basically, now they just did theirs with rebar and chicken wire. We're proposing something that's a little bit more intentional in its design. But what we did like about this is it's temporary. It didn't imply to anybody that this is like here forever. This is, which is what I get to when I talk about the concept of a provisional facade to infill some of these neighborhoods. And so this has grown over time. I'll see if this image comes up. This is probably a little bit better, but still a little bit too overgrown. We would never propose that it gets this crazy. But if that helps you, probably in that direction is the only thing that offhand I can think of.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? All right, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Jeff, we'll start with the discussion.
Kirsten Cotter, before we start, can you put the green wall back up, like the rendering? Just, sorry.
I would say, having worked with Michael before, I know he's extremely talented, and I think maybe this rendering doesn't really give an accurate representation of what it will be. Certainly that is a very industrial sort of section of Habersham, and I have no doubt that this will be a great addition to what's going on there. So I'm inclined to give the latitude to move forward with this.
Virginia Mobley, how much space is there between the structure and the actual sidewalk and the structure and the building?
No.
The steel screen sits on the property line, which is what we're getting at to form that edge. And there's about 5 feet between there and the building facade.
So the plannings are going to be on the inside, or they're going to be on the outside?
The planning is considered part of the wall, so it's on the outside, but that's where the property line is.
So it's the the plants are actually going to be outside of the property line?
I said they're inside the property. So when I said that the steel planting being part of that system will be inside the property, but it's sitting directly on the frontage of the property line. So the line of the sidewalk is the property line.
Okay. I'm just trying to, you know, there's a difference between a honeysuckle or a jasmine and a holly tree in width. And I'm just trying to figure out how it's, if it's going to encompass the sidewalk.
No, the intent is no, it will not. I mean, the intent is to keep this quite manicured.
All right, we'll continue the discussion. Kirsten?
Kirsten Connor, I think he's made some valid points that makes me sway towards approving the design, not with the condition that staff has recommended.
Can we see the condition again? I agree with Mr. Notrika. I think I appreciate the applicant's desire to rebuild the street wall and create a more urban experience and get rid of the recessed condition and the hedge, which are scream a kind of suburban rejection of urbanism. Something appropriate for a green wall. I know you sort of apologize for that, but it is called Green Truck. So I'm with my colleagues. I think it's fine the way it is.
Hey, Boley, I do want to thank staff for being so vigilant and trying to always make sure that we're checking all the stuff, but I'm going to agree with the rest of the commission and give them, as Jeff said, a little latitude given the industrial nature of the neighborhood.
Pam Miller, I agree with my colleagues. As a frequent diner there, I think that something to block that stuff would be very welcome. So thank you.
Darren?
I'm in 100% agreement with the consensus that has been stated so far.
Kathy Levina, I like I think the concept of a green wall is a welcome addition, especially in that corridor. I would just think about it's going to take a while for all that to grow. So I don't know if there's something you can do temporarily to infill that space and create that look you want.
Actually, jasmine grows shockingly quickly. We planted a little new arbor of jasmine, and within 1 year, it was like 8 feet up.
Well, we're still talking a year, but yeah, you're right. It does grow.
Here,
it
so
does
you got to tough it up for grow. A year.
Any further discussion necessary? Call the motion. Is there a motion? Excuse me.
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. I make a motion that we approve the request for alterations and additions to 2430 Habersham Street with no conditions. And with the proposal as stated.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Is there a second?
Excuse me.
Second?
Yes.
Jeff, start the vote.
Jeff Nantarika approved.
Darren Bagley-Heath approved.
Pam Miller approved.
May Boley approved.
Robin Williams approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Thank you.
Continuing on, petition of Ethos Preservation 5.
Excuse me, Chairman, can we take a little break?
Got one left. Can you hold off? No? Okay.
Okay, we can.
Okay.
It's been 3 hours.
I know. It's just one.
Kirsten Connor, I have to recuse myself.
All right. Petition of Ethos Preservation, 536 Siler Avenue, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
This is Jamie Zerillo presenting staff recommendation for 536 Siler Avenue. The applicant is proposing to construct a new two-story duplex and carriage house on an unimproved lot at 536 Siler. Historically, the lot did not have a principal building. Bring up the Sanborns. Did not have a principal building associated with it. It is a corner lot, and it's a particularly large lot compared to the interior lots on the block. So with that, oops, sorry. A little zoomed in. So here's the frontage on Siler that they're proposing. So again, it's a duplex with a carriage house, proposed hardy board siding and ply gem mirror premium double hung windows, has a brick pier foundation on the front of Siler, and then a stucco foundation, which staff did have a comment about, because the way the standard is written, East Broad Street. Because the way the standard is written, it's visible from both streets, so that the pier and base wall have to be the same material if they face a street, and it's a condition where you have Broad and Siler, it's visible from both. So to conform with that condition, they have to come to a solution on that, as one of our recommendations, which I'll get to. There's also, pull it up. There is also a standard for floor to floor heights, which requires a minimum of 9 for the second story. However, now it's 8 feet 8 inches, so they would have to adjust to come into conformance with that standard. And then one additional comment that we also have is the positioning of the HVAC equipment on the carriage house. It would face East Broad Street, so it just has to be screened by some kind of solution, whether that be moving it to another facade or screening it with fencing or some other kind of solution. But beyond that, staff found this to be visually compatible. It's on a corner lot, so larger houses are appropriate on corner lots, as they tend to differ from the interior of the block. In particular, too, the context is a little different. On the other side of East Broad, scroll, there are larger lots. Let me pull up the, there are larger lots which don't necessarily conform to the rest of the neighborhood, such as buildings like this, and then there's a warehouse further down, so you have a wide variety of building frontages and contexts in this area. So with that, staff's recommendation is approval with the following conditions: to revise the design of the porch piers and base wall to meet the standard, which states piers and base wall should be of the same material as the foundation wall facing the street, screen the HVAC equipment which faces East Broad Street or relocate it, and increase the exterior expression of the second floor height to a minimum of 9 feet to meet the standard. And I'll turn over to any questions. Yep, staff.
Are there any questions for the staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Thank you to staff for the presentation. You guys, I appreciate you staying this late, and I hope this will be a quick ending to the meeting. We are absolutely fine with the screening the HVAC equipment and increasing the exterior expression of the second floor. It was actually 9 feet on the sections, but it was 8 feet 8 on the elevation, so we're going to make sure that that's consistent and meets the standards. You guys have talked a lot about foundations today, and I have some additional information to share with you. 364 days ago to today, we had a similar petition come before the Historic Preservation Commission about whether or not foundations that were visible or facing a street, but on a side, needed to be the same as the front. And we had a zoning administrator's interpretation that we provided to you all at that time. I'm happy to give you all a copy. That confirms that just because it's visible from a street, even if it's facing a street, that's not the correct interpretation of the standard. The piers and base walls of the front facade have to be consistent. And it's my opinion that the standard was written, yes, sorry, I didn't bring a copy for every single person. that this standard was intended to apply for when you have a front facade that doesn't have a full width front porch, and that only has a partial width front porch, or a stoop, which is by its very nature partial width, that all of that on the front facade has to be the same material, but it doesn't include the sides, which you can find at that zoning administrator's interpretation there, and the red is the highlighted portion that's relevant. So with that, I'd ask for your approval with conditions 2 and 3 and reconsideration of condition number 1, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? No? Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Put it down. All right. Let's just have a minute to read that statement. I haven't gotten it yet. Does staff want to comment on this statement? Yes.
I have a question for the petitioner. So I don't have the drawing in front of me, but is the brick piers and knee walls under the porch, it's rendered as brick. Is it a brick veneer or is it solid brick?
It's a brick veneer.
And was the reason not to continue that down the side just a financial one?
Yes.
Okay. So. It would be a significant, not the finances, but given how prominent the building is, it just seems kind of interesting to have it on one face and not at least down the side that's so visible. So it's a not insignificant cost to clad it in the brick?
Correct.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Are we not supposed to not consider the financial impact?
I'm just inquiring. You
know, okay, I'm just asking.
Insofar as one makes a determination.
Well, the reason I ask is it's come up several times in the last couple of meetings.
And state your name.
Virginia Mobley. It has come up in several of the previous meetings about the financial cost of things that are actually required in the ordinance.
This not being required in the ordinance. Just want to point out. May Bowley.
All right, so we'll continue discussion. Dr. Williams?
Can I see the staff recommendations? Yeah, I think the applicant makes a compelling case for an interpretation of the ordinance.
May?
I agree. We approved one earlier that was because you couldn't see any of the foundation wall from the street, and all you can see is the lovely brick, which is lovely and historic and contextual. So I'm inclined to remove condition 1 from this approval.
Ann Miller, I agree.
This is Darren Bagley. He's based on the zoning administrator's letter. I think that we have to agree with the petitioner regarding the removal of point 1 because that has been a precedent that was set in the past.
I agree with my colleagues.
Kathy Ledvina, because of the prominence of being on the corner, I actually think it would be more visually compatible to continue the brick down the continuous foundation wall.
and maybe not the one between the two buildings, but especially on the corner because it is such a, I mean, but because the placement, it's certainly visible. Further discussion? Would somebody like to make a motion?
May Boley, motion to improve new construction, small parts 1 and 2 at 536 Siler Avenue with the following conditions. Screen the HVAC equipment, which faces East Broad Street, or relocate it to an area that's not visible from the street, and increase the exterior expression of the second floor height to a minimum of 9 feet to meet standard.
Is there a second?
Ann Miller, a second.
Call for vote, Jeff.
Jeff Dontrica, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
No approval.
Motion passes. Thank you. Do we need to take a small break? Jeff, are you? Yep. Okay. And there. Can we continue? Ready? Let's finish this up and get out of here. Leah? Good? Okay. Thank you, everybody. So we are going to continue now to approve staff reviews. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? Is there a motion to acknowledge the approved staff reviews?
Ms. Labana, you have to read them, remember?
Oh. Okay, sorry, I have to read them. The approved staff reviews. Petition of Rose Architects, 1526 Bull Street. Existing window replacement with double hung walk-up window. Petition of Kirsten Connor, 510 East 32nd Street. Siding repair and roof reshingling. Petition of Christopher Failing. 203 West 35th Street, roof replacement and repair. Petition of Kirsten Connor, 406 Siler Avenue, in-kind fence replacement. Is there a motion?
I make a motion. We approve the accept the approved staff reviews.
Darren Bagley, I second that.
For vote, Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve, except for recusing myself from number 29 and 31.
Robin Williams, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve.
Thank you. Moving on, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Do I have to read those? Do I have to read those?
You don't have to read anything.
Okay, terrific. Moving on, other business. Is there any additional business? No? Okay.
I have a question about the June meeting.
Yes, actually, we did find out that in June, both Robin and I will not be present.
Are you vice chair?
Yes.
You're vice chair, right?
Sorry?
Your vice chair?
Yes.
So what month?
June.
Okay. What do we have to do, Pam?
The board will have to select someone to sit in this chair. We don't have a secretary of this board.
Can we do that now?
We could, yes, since everybody's here.
Y'all want to pick someone to?
Kirsten Connor, I nominate Darren.
Can I nominate May Boley? I want to nominate Virginia since she's got the most experience.
All right.
But Darren has to practice.
That's a great point.
It will. Yes, I'll do it for June.
Terrific.
This is assuming the meeting is the fourth Wednesday in June, correct?
Yeah, it's always the fourth Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll be away.
All right. Is there a motion?
I make a motion. Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that Darren fill in for the chair and vice chair
in
for the June meeting.
Second.
Kirsten Connor, second.
Approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Kay Bowley, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Darren Bagley, that recruits myself. Jeff Notrika, approve.
Terrific. All right. So now we can make a motion to adjourn, correct? The next Preservation Commission meeting is Wednesday, May 24th.
Mm-hmm.
2:30 p.m. right here. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We're done.